Welcome to Legal News and Review, recipient of the Florida Bar Award of Excellence, and featuring Michael Santucci, co-chair of the Intellectual Property Division of the Broward Bar. From the law firm of Santucci Priori, practicing intellectual property, business, and entertainment law and litigation, located in downtown Fort Lauderdale. Legal News and Review, the only real problem solver radio program using the law, with your moderator, Philip Bell. And hosts and legal panel attorney, Gary Singer, chair of the Broward County Bar Association's Real Property Section. Gary Singer is board certified in real estate law and a syndicated columnist from the Sun Sentinel. He is an expert in his field of practice. Now, here's your moderator, Philip Bell.
On the docket for today's broadcast, mediation is a vastly expanding area in the law. Many courts and judges encourage and sometimes mandate the use of mediation. A judge or jury decides a case. It is often a win-lose for the parties. But mediation, or alternative dispute resolution, the outcome can be a win-win for both parties. Today, we're very pleased to have the founder of Florida Mediation Training Center, attorney Darlene Gimbel, from the law firm of Gimbel Law. Florida Mediation Training Center is Florida's Supreme Court offering certified circuit civil mediation training. It's a good way to expand your career, especially for attorneys that are listening as well. It's a growing field. First of all, good evening, Mike Santucci, legal panel host.
How are you, Phil? Love the new format. Love being on three stations. Love being on every day.
Absolutely. And, you know, we're going to influence a lot of people in getting the points across in the practice of law. And, of course, Gary Singer, good evening.
Word.
Yeah.
Yeah, how you doing? It's good to see you again.
Always a pleasure. And, you know, when we were starting up and we were talking about mediation and the issues surrounding mediation, this is really going to be one of our favorite segments because mediation is designed to capture the interest of both parties to come to a common goal, to get things settled as well. And we have a fantastic attorney. And, of course, from Gimbel Law, we have Darlene Gimbel.
Hi, nice to see you today, Phil.
You know, Darlene, you have a dynamic practice as well. I mean, you work with mergers and acquisitions for some large hedge fund. Is that correct?
I do. I represent a hedge fund and also small to large businesses, some just starting out that need to, you know, do everything from incorporating to raises to help with their employees and setting up and work with their non-competes and distribution agreements and making sure that they make private business deals that'll go ahead and take them to fruition.
You know, I'm looking at a law firm right here. You could do the small business law, setting up the corporations, helping them be compliant and so forth. And then, of course, they're going to need some patent copyrights. And we got Mike Santucci sitting right over here. And then eventually they want to have a brick and mortar, and you have good old Gary Singer for real estate.
We can do the whole deal right here.
Do the whole deal as well. But your practice not only covers the small business law and corporate, and we've already touched on the merger acquisition, which I may want to know a little more about, but also you said you've dedicated about 25% of your firm to family law. Is that correct?
I do. I started out teaching business law, and I started having some students come to me with their family law issues, and really it's just by word of mouth and referral that I've been able to grow that part of my practice, and you know, it's good to be able to help people get through that hard time and work with them on that.
I didn't realize. Where are you? Where do you teach business law?
I was teaching business law at University of Phoenix and doing constitutional law in different areas. I don't teach there anymore. It just was taking up too much of my time, but I really enjoyed it.
Darlene's in the same building as I am, Phil, as you probably know by now.
Yeah,
and I'm learning more and more about her with every week that goes by. So.
Well, just staying on the course.
Well, she's a Nova grad, right?
I am. I
do. Yeah, so that's something.
Nova
good.
All the way.
Yeah, I mean, across from the yard here at the Museum Plaza, I see a big sign for Nova. They're all over the place. But moving forward within the family issue of practice, family mediation training, that is something that your Florida Mediation Training Center focuses on. Is that correct?
Right. We do mediation. We get people certified in mediation for family law and circuit civil, both areas. I've been Florida Supreme Court approved for to come in as a legal specialist in both classes. And, you know, I teach the family law. And something that makes our training different than others is that I go ahead and, besides coming in and teaching that 1 hour of required time, I offer time during lunch and afterwards and give out my cell phone number and just make myself as accessible as possible, because not only do we teach lawyers to be mediators, but we teach non-lawyers as well. And as a mediator, you can't give legal advice, but however, you have to have a basis of the knowledge of law that you're being a mediator for, so that you can go ahead and bring people to some kind of resolution and think outside the box a little bit as well. Because if you just take your case in front of a judge that day, that's your one day and your one opportunity. And this is your chance to customize your agreement and really make it, especially in family law, make it work for you, your family, your children, and your work schedules and everything else that it entails.
Darlene, walk us through what's covered in the mediation course.
Well, it's understanding mediation and the substantive law, the mediation concepts, the stages of mediation that you would go through, being a neutral mediator, and also how important communication is and being professional and trying to work together to come to that resolution that'll work for everybody in the situation.
Being neutral, that's kind of like changing hats, because we're, as litigators, we're those of us that are, we're used to being adversarial all the time, and it's I guess that is an important thing to cover.
Absolutely, especially for our attorney students, to be an impartial facilitator.
Sure.
And to change caps and to also sit there and not give legal advice. And that's something we have to remind our students about, is that you can't really tell people what, you know, what they should do based on the law. Mm-hmm. That's not your role anymore as a mediator. But it's interesting, one of the difficult parts is, for example, if you have one side that's represented by an attorney, and then you have a pro se party on one side who's not represented by an attorney, and you as an attorney, as the mediator, knows they're not getting a good deal. You can't say to them, you know, you're not getting, this is not something you should be doing. What you can say is, you do have the right to have this reviewed by another attorney. That's not crossing your ethical boundaries. And that's one of the things we teach the students, so that they don't get in trouble in the future.
Mm-hmm. What do you mean? I mean, when it's party-to-party mediation and no lawyers involved?
Well, when it's party-to-party, it's not, you would tell everyone. But a more difficult situation is when you have two parties and one is represented by an attorney and the other is not. And you as an attorney mediator knows that the other side really isn't getting a good deal. Then you can't say, well, you know, this maybe isn't something you should do. And you can't say things like that. You can say you do have the right to have this reviewed by an attorney. And
it's a different dynamic than the usual. Both parties represented.
Right. Know, so. Exactly.
Okay. Mediation agreements, are they actually enforceable?
Mediation agreements are enforceable. However, it's always better to have them ordered and adopted by the court.
Why? I mean, that's a good point, but it's a good point for a question. Is, you know, if you have a contract that says you have to go to mediation, it's a prerequisite for filing suit. How do you get it? I don't understand.
Well,
confused me.
Okay, well,
just to give background for our listeners, oftentimes, especially in real estate contracts, they state you have to try to go to mediation before you can file suit in this matter. So if you have to go to mediation first, how can you get a court order to go to mediation?
Oh, no. It's not a court order to go to mediation. That's not what I'm referring to.
Okay.
If you have a marital settlement agreement that you enter into at mediation, following that, you want to go ahead and you do a notice of filing of the mediation agreement.
Oh, okay.
And asking the court to order and adopt it. So then it becomes an order of the court, which has a much stronger bite to it, so that if somebody violates it, you can get
You're closer to getting contempt.
Contempt.
Right?
It's easier for your attorney in the future to
that
get contempt.
Sense. Do you see a lot of, like, pro se, just party to party, no lawyer involved mediations in the family law area?
I think you see more in that area than in circuit civil and other areas of law, absolutely.
That's got to be amazingly challenging for a mediator because neither side has really necessarily the background to know the legal issues involved.
Right. So the family, they definitely have to work harder in that situation to go ahead and bring the two sides to an agreement because having attorneys, it's easier because they're facilitating the situation. But if you do have a mediator with two pro se parties, then it's one of the things that we teach is that you try and bring them and keep giving them examples of things that they could do with their time-sharing agreement, with the pickups and drop-offs, holiday time-sharing, especially if there's children involved, or how to split up the property so that they can eventually reach that agreement.
So to what extent does a family law mediator need to know family law? I mean, I'm a dirt lawyer, real estate person.
Dirt lawyer, right? I love that. I
real estate probate. You know, that sort of fun stuff. I know nothing about divorce. I hope I'm never even in one, frankly. You know, and that's more
weirdo.
Than I want to. I don't even want to watch divorce court on TV, right? Can I go be a family law mediator?
You can, but you would need to get some training. I mean, and that's what we're there
well, not
for.
Not just mediation training, but I mean specifically in family law.
In family law, if you're a real estate attorney, I mean, it's our job as attorneys to, before you practice any other area of law, to educate yourself. That's one of our professional rules of responsibility, ethical requirements.
Well, your mediation
obviously.
Training center. You do take on attorneys from different walks who want to expand
well,
their
sure.
knowledge and
But do
and
you
practice.
Have to be an attorney to be a mediator?
You don't have to be an attorney to be a mediator. And this is one of the things that's so excellent. It gives people the opportunity, especially therapists and teachers that do work in family areas dealing with things that arise from divorce. Mm-hmm. It gives them an opportunity to participate in family law and make basically attorney money, hourly money by becoming mediators. And all you need is a college degree. There's a 100-point system to become a Florida Supreme Court certified mediator. And you have to have a minimum of a college degree to be a family law mediator. That's not the case for county mediation. But for family, you do have to have a college degree. And then you get 30 points for that. And then you can get, points for, I think it's 30 or 40 points for taking our class, and then you do observations, and you can get 5 points per observation and 10 points for co-mediation. And the way co-mediation works is for you just give their opening statement or participate in some way under the supervision of another mediator, and that gives you 10 points towards observation. So really, if you're motivated, you can complete your training and get certified within a couple of months. And
is there bonus points? Like I get bonus points for being good
looking? We don't give out extra credit, and you do have to be there the full 40 hours of the course. No extra credit.
But that's a great fact. A non-attorney can be a mediator.
Can be a mediator.
That's just kind of blowing my mind.
And I could think of some, definitely there's some cases where I'd want someone with a legal background to be a mediator, but I could think of some cases where I want somebody that comes from a totally different perspective and maybe can relate to the parties a little better. Mm-hmm. And not have that kind of legal authority, know how we talk.
Absolutely. And, but like what? Like what type of
and
area law?
Non-lawyer mediators do work a lot with pro se clients when there's two pro se parties. The non-lawyer mediators are very active
in
that
role. How
do
they even know what needs to be settled?
Because through their training, they know they have a marital settlement agreement form that they use, so they know the different areas to cover. We also give them...
I've looked at the form, and I barely understand it. And I have legal training.
Well, we also do, I go over it with them and teach them. And we also do the child support guidelines where they have different programs where they, your child support in Florida, it's completely guided. It's completely decided by the guidelines and overnight stays. It's actually rare where you deviate from the child support guidelines, and you have to file a motion with the court for that. And that's not something that's handled through mediation unless the parties agree mm-hmm. to it.
I debate this issue with attorney friends all the time, and it kind of brings up a point that Gary raised. Is it better to have a mediator that's a good mediator or somebody that really knows the substantive area of law?
Both.
You want both.
Always want both, but there are some people that I see come through the class that are just naturals, that mm-hmm. have never, that are not lawyers, they haven't done this before, but they have a certain way, because we do role playing and we to, basically quote unquote graduate from our class, you have to do a mediation and basically stay in character and handle it from start to finish, and you're critiqued. And you see some people that have a natural talent for handling both sides and bringing people
natural deal makers,
right? Yeah. And bringing people to a settlement.
But the mediator can help you overcome obstacles to the communication with the other person's job or party.
I mean, that's really the best mediator.
But your training is geared towards that.
Absolutely, we teach people how to bring people to an agreement.
But how can a non-attorney? I mean, it's just interesting to me.
Of course.
Like, you know, I can't imagine
all those years you wasted in law school.
yeah, right. No fooling. I could have went to her school. That's it. I'd be retired. But all kidding aside, you know, attorneys are generally speaking forceful, right? I have a forceful personality. Okay, not a bully, but a force. And so is going to be the attorney on the other side. You know, and I'm thinking in my head as we're talking about this, this situation where you have one pro se party, you have one represented party, and you have a non-attorney mediator. I just it's hard for me to see, no matter how skilled the mediator, that working out well.
I'd rather have a lawyer mediator in that situation. But if you have two unrepresented parties, I think a non-attorney might have the right.
That's usually how it is.
Because usually a non-lawyer mediator with two pro se parties unrepresented works out well. When one side's represented and the other one's not, I would also agree that I would prefer in that situation to have a lawyer, a mediator.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. That would be preferable, but not necessary. Mm-hmm. Always.
For our lay listeners, and I hear these terms misused all the time when I hear from clients, but what's the difference between mediation and arbitration?
That's a good question.
Mediation
is $50,000.
Very true. Arbitration is extremely expensive. However, and you're paying usually three attorneys on your panel, and the difference is that arbitration is binding. Most of the time. And for mediation, it's voluntarily entered into and it's not binding. So you can walk away at any time and call an impasse or actually, I believe it was just changed to a non-agreement, unable to reach an agreement. Mm-hmm. And so the judge doesn't know anything about what happened, has no bias to your case whatsoever. And it's an attempt. And in family law, the judge will order you to mediation before coming to trial. So we definitely have a need for mediators and good mediators out there to try and, you know, bring down the level of trials that we have in this area.
How do you make sure, you know, I do a lot of mediation. I enjoy it. I get a lot of great results out of it. I think it's great when people can decide their own fates and not leave it in the hands of a stranger, even though that stranger is a very professional judge. But, you know, when I go to mediation, I usually get to choose who you want, which is great, but sometimes you get someone like randomly or forced on you through the system, and often as not, they're not very good at what they do, and that can actually be a detriment to getting settled. In your school, how do you make sure that people coming out are going to be good, and what if you're teaching someone and they just stink at it?
Well, I think that, you know, if someone's getting hired, after they complete the training and they're going, if they aren't very good at it, I would assume that they're not very motivated at it.
Okay.
And that they might not complete their observations. There's a lot of people that I have known, not through our school, but through others that have gone and gotten trained and not gotten their observations done and completed and become certified. We do try and facilitate our students and help them and make sure that they do get observation opportunities. Our trainers offer observation opportunities as well to help people complete their certification and provide the packets for them once they are done.
That's cool.
To go ahead and submit it.
You guys role play?
Absolutely.
Yeah, cool.
Let's dissect this. Family and civil mediation training. Okay? First of all, family mediation training, what are the requirements to attend the course? And this is being I guess it's given at Nova Southeastern University, the Carl DeSantis building. Is that correct?
Right. We have actually
a 400-point system.
Actually, in March, we have two classes going at Nova Carl DeSantis. We have the family law training and circuit civil. And to attend both of those, you do have to have a college degree.
Mm-hmm.
And what we require is for our training for the entire course and we assist you in applying and everything. It's $875 for our entire course and to get certified.
This is a
40-hour course, and you do get 48 hours of CLE credits. And if you are already a mediator, you can come and sign up for our second day for $195 and get CME credits, continuing mediation education credits. It's an amazing deal because basically you're expanding your practice if you're an attorney, and you can make that in one mediation. I mean, so, or you are starting a whole other career for $875. Sure. I mean, you can't, I don't know where else you can do that. So, and we also offer, if you are a teacher or a student that wants to do this, we do offer a payment plan where you put a security deposit down for $195. And as long as you pay the remainder by the first day of class, you can go ahead and take our class.
Is there radio host discounts? Now, let me ask you,
we do offer a student discount. We are letting students come for $695.
Cool. So we ask our attorneys all the time, you know, hey, how do you find a PI attorney? How do you find a real estate attorney? So we oftentimes ask our attorneys on the show, whether they're real estate or personal injury, how do you find a good personal injury attorney? What do you look for? We want to make sure people find a great mediation school. I know Florida Mediation Training Center is a great school, but what do people ask to know that?
Well, people should really be looking at who's doing the training at this school. I mean, we have Barbara Peterson, who's been doing this for about 30 years, and she originally trained with Perry Itkin, who's well-known Mel Rubin. Perry Itkin recently retired and owned Mediation Training Center, and there was a need for a new school in the area, so we picked the best primary trainer that we could, Barbara Peterson, who she has so much experience teaching people and really puts her heart into this. And Jessica Geller, my partner, she's our assistant trainer, and she, you know, has been mediating for about 13 years now, and she's excellent. We definitely, you know, take that extra step and make ourselves very accessible to answer questions and help people start out their practice.
I think it makes sense. I mean, every school is going to teach off of basically the same curriculum. You need experienced people who are the best trainers doing it, and you have someone with a couple people with a great track record. It makes a ton of sense to me.
Absolutely. And Jessica Geller and myself, we really believe in mediation, and we're going to launch Gimbel and Geller Mediation Group in the next year or so, and we're trying to find very experienced mediators and retired judges on each level, and then attorneys that have their own practice and want to expand it, and also people that we're finding through our school that we see with a real talent. We're trying to start forming our group, and when we have the best, we're going to go ahead and launch Gimbel and Geller Mediation Group.
So, I mean, realistically, we were talking earlier about, you know, people without legal training. This is a good opportunity for them to launch a new career, you said. What do you do with that?
Absolutely, especially with teachers in the area, therapists. I like giving people opportunity, and you know, teachers, this gives them the opportunity. They've put in the work, they've taken care of our children, and it gives them the opportunity to earn really good money and make a good life for themselves while still being in that area of helping children with families and divorces.
You know, it's funny you say teachers, because I could really see, having done a lot of mediations, where someone with that kind of background and personality would be a great mediator.
Absolutely.
That's a lot of what a mediator does.
What kind of career, what can they build? What can they make?
A mediator can make.
Way to get right to the meat.
Yeah. Absolutely.
How much are we talking?
It's really important.
Show on the radio.
I paid a mediator $950 an hour in Washington, D.C. Yes. And wow. I was court ordered to use him by a federal judge.
Yeah,
mediators
can make, that's why when I say attorney money, I mean, they can make anything from $175 an hour to what you're saying, Mike, $975.
Yeah, they're all over the place.
I mean, it can be anything, you know, $350 is on average. And, you know, for non-attorneys, doing pro se, I would say $175 to $250 an hour is average. And you can also charge your minimum 2 to 4 hours, depending on if they're reserving a half a day or a full day. We do a minimum of 2 hours prepaid for a half a day, a minimum of 4 hours for a full day. And, you know, a mediator can walk out, a teacher can walk out with $1,000 for half a day when that might not be what they make over 2 weeks.
And let us not forget, the courts are overburdened, and that old saying is so true, justice delayed is justice denied.
Well,
you
absolutely
can get a suitable resolution. I mean, in a settlement, nobody's happy, and that makes a good settlement. What is the best way to contact you or to get more information regarding Florida Mediation Training Center and, of course, Gimbel Law?
Okay. So for Florida Mediation Training Center, you want to go to FLAMEDTC.com. And for myself, you want to go to GimbelLaw.com.
Give the website again, please.
FLAMEDTC.com for Florida Mediation Training Center. And also for my firm, you want to go to GimbelLaw.com. We are going to be giving classes for the family mediation training dates. We have March 17th, 18th, 19th, 24th and 25th. We break it up over 2 weeks so that you don't miss too many work days. We have a Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and then a Friday, Saturday the next week.
And if people don't like that newfangled interweb, what are your digits?
Okay. Oh, also, let me just mention, too, for civil mediation training dates for March 3rd, 4th, 5th, 9th, and 10th, also at Nova Southeastern University. And to get in touch with Gimbel Law, you want to call 954-351-7474. And for Florida Mediation Training Center, you also want to call the same number, 954-351-7474.
Very cool. Mediation is a great alternative either to add to your career or even if you are retired, now you can look at something that would be fulfilling and could be financially very good.
You know, Phil,
well,
this was a great episode, I got to say. I spent all week wondering why we were going to learn and talk about meditation. And this is a much more appropriate topic. I thought you were losing it.
Oh,
but this is much. Can we maybe meditate afterwards? Yeah. I don't know.
Well, I really appreciate you giving me an opportunity to teach people a little bit more about mediation and training people on this because I think it's a really important area.
Cool.
Absolutely.
Very cool. Well, I want to thank all of our listeners for hanging out with us today. I want to wish you all a very safe evening. And as always, folks,
be legal.
You've been listening to the award-winning Legal News and Review, recognized by the Florida Bar's Award of Excellence. Legal News and Review, featuring Michael Santucci from the law firm of Santucci Priori, located in downtown Fort Lauderdale, and practicing intellectual property, business, and entertainment law and litigation. They can be reached at 500law.com or at 954-351-7474. To contact the legal panel hosts and guests, go to belegalbuzz.com. And to reach Gary Singer, board-certified real estate and syndicated columnist, appearing in 400 media outlets, including the front page of the Money Section every Monday in the Sun Sentinel, from the law firm of Gary M. Singer, PA, call 954-851-1448. Join us next Friday, 6 to 7 p.m., for Legal News and Review. Remember, be legal.